أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله. The verses that is reciting, that if a good afflicts, if a good comes to them, إذا أصابتهم حسنة, you know, they say this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when something harmful happens, they blame it on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which is just generally blame. You know, when something good happens, people are happy, but when something bad happens, they want to find an object to blame it on. And then the verse says, you know, say that everything is from Allah, whether it's good or it's bad, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then a little bit after that, it says, you know, any good that comes to you is from Allah, and then any harm that comes to you is from yourself. So, and then it says, you know, if this wasn't from God, you'd find in it difference. So, I mean, it's very interesting that in that same ayah, there's, on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, if harm comes to you, you blame others. But if it's good, then you say, oh, this is from God. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-khayr wa shar, al-hasana wa sayya. And then after that, it says, you know, if good comes to you, it's from Allah. But if harm comes to you, if a sayya comes to you, it's from your own nafs. And the way that that's reconciled in the commentaries is that in reality, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because آمنت بالقدري خيره وشره حلوه ومره. You know, that's a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I believe in the qadr, it's good and it's evil, it's sweetness and it's bitterness. And so everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we're being told is that when harm afflicts you, you have to see the asbab, because everything has a sabab. So anything that Allah does, for instance, if you take medicine and you get well, we believe that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that cured you. But the medicine was the sabab. In other words, if you didn't take the medicine, you might have gotten well, but that was the means by which Allah made you well. And the same is true that anything that happens to us, whether it's good or bad, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when good comes to us, it is from Allah, because it's unwarranted. I mean, humans, no matter what you do, I mean, if you just look at the hadith, to worship Allah, according to the hadith about the man who worshipped Allah 500 years, and then, you know, yeah, when he stood before Allah, Allah said, oh, enter into my paradise by my mercy. Udkhulu jannati bi rahmati. And he said, la la bi amali. You know, I want to go in by my actions. I worshipped you 500 years on an island, and I never disobeyed you, not once. So in other words, I want to go in by my actions. So Allah said to the angels, hasibu, you know, take him into account in front of him. So the first thing is the eye. So he said, what's the, you know, this is a story that Prophet ﷺ told us. He said, what's the account, the reckoning of an eye, just the gift of vision? And the angel said, 500 years of worship without disobeying Allah. And so he said, do you want to carry on with the reckoning? He said, birahmatika, birahmatika. You know, with your mercy, let me go into paradise. You know, so nothing we do warrants what we're given, neither in this life or in the next life. But the harm that comes to us is from our own selves. Now, right now, you know, people are asking about the tsunami. You see, because there were all these people who, I mean, there were people just on the beach. They were sunbathing. Some people were sunbathing. Some people were fishing. And they literally just got swallowed up in a wave and gone. And it's more than 150,000 people, which is a lot of people. And you know, the Secretary of State from this country went there, and he's a general who said he's been in several wars. He's never seen anything even similar to the devastation. And he said it just brought home the power of nature. But for us, you know, nature, for nature, read God. You know, it's the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the point. Because it's a tajalli of the qudra of Allah. It's a manifestation of the qudra of Allah. And we don't ask Allah why he does things. You know, people say, why did that happen? That's not a question that the Qur'an permits human being. The Qur'an says, لا يسألوا عما يفعل. He's not asked about what he does. وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. But they will be asked about what they were doing. So every person who was taken, they're going to be asked about what they were doing. That's it. I mean, it's as simple as that. Now, the Prophet ﷺ said anybody who dies drowning dies a martyr. You know, so all those people, inshallah, may Allah, you know, forgive them and accept their that shahada. You know, but then there's people that wasn't their state. You know, they weren't ready to go. But I mean, if you look at that, those of us who are left behind, I mean, that's what we have to ask ourselves. You know, we have to ask ourselves, first of all, what are human beings doing to bring these things on ourselves? Because this is collective. It's not just it might have been the mercy for the people that were taken. Those are the ones that got the mercy. It's the ones that are left behind. Those are the ones that are stuck. Do you know? So I'm not going to decide who's right and who's wrong here. But when we look at that, we have to ask ourselves, you know, what do we do? You know, in the face of something like that. I mean, because this is Somalia. I mean, our brother here is from Somalia, Sheikh Tahir. I mean, there were people in Somalia, this is a few thousand miles away, who lost their boats that they depend on their livelihood for. They're just gone, you know, from waves. And then over 200 people just taken away by the ocean, disappeared. I mean, that's in East Africa, and this happened over in Indonesia. So, I mean, if you look at the power of that, you know, and then people up in Thailand. And for me, the three biggest signs that I saw in that was, one, that the animals didn't die. You know, they couldn't see, there were no carcasses from animals. So they were asking what happened. Then there were all these anecdotal reports of the animals leaving before it came. And they head for the hills. Now, there's all these articles being written, oh, well, they sensed the seismic, and so they, well, that doesn't explain why they got up and left. You know, you can sense something and go the wrong direction. I mean, who inspired them to go up into the hills? You know, and the thing about, we know that Allah says, you know, one of the reasons why humans are not punished is because of animals. And there's hadith that the only reason disobedient people get rain is because of animals and vegetables, because they don't deserve for the rain to be withheld because they haven't done anything wrong. So these animals, they just knew it was time to go, that something was, and we know in the hadith, and Imam Malik related the hadith, that the angels shake, I mean the animals shake on Friday in anticipation of the Yom al-Qiyamah. You know, so there's a hadith that indicates they have some type of extrasensory perception of the end, because that is Yom al-Qiyamah for all those people. I mean, that was the Qiyamah for those people. So, you know, the animals are in tune. Why aren't we in tune? And what I found also interesting, that was one sign. And it was very interesting also that, you know, there was an elephant that actually took some children on his back in a village in India, and he just took them up into the hills. It was an elephant. Because the children, they have no sin. Children have no sin. But unfortunately, they're in the, you know, if the parents are sinful, that's part of the tragedy of life, you know. And that's why one of the responsibilities for parents is not to be sinful, you know. I mean, in the Jewish religion, they say, you know, sins are visited on the children for three generations, and seven and three. Imam Ali related that, and he said that that is true, that they don't take the itham, but they take the results of the sins. You know, they get the results. So that's one of the reasons why they say you should be righteous because you don't want to bring trouble onto your children that didn't deserve it for your sins. And that's one of the reasons, just to protect children. People should be obedient, just to protect innocent children. So if you look at those, you know, the other sign that I thought there were two other signs. One was there was a whole village of people that were saved because when they saw the waves recede, they remembered the elders. The old people from the village said that the elders had told them when they were children, if you ever see the ocean recede, go to the hills. And so they fled to the hills and went up to their temple up in the hills. But that to me is what the secret of Sened. Do you see that the protection of transmission? And that's something that humanity's lost. See, that's just an outward manifestation of it, of people that were connected to the ancient people, the elders, through a chain of transmission. And even though they didn't know what it meant, they just knew, we were told, when you see this, do this. And they listened to their elders. And the whole village was saved for that one reason. And so there's a sign of the secret of Sened. You know, of just the Sened, of knowing that. And those were, again, Aboriginal people. They're Aboriginal fisher people. So it's people that are in tune. You see, so what's happening that we're so out of tune? And the biggest disharmony to me in that whole event is, why are Europeans going to these places where there's immense poverty, and they're staying in luxury hotels and being served by people that live in the most abject poverty? And what, to me, one of the things that Allah did is He just reduced them all to the same level. He just took away everything they had. Some of them lost their lives. But for those who survived, it's suddenly they're now being taken care of by those poor people who are, as human beings, just embracing them, you know, and helping them. And why aren't we helping? You know, why are human beings so neglectful of their responsibilities? You know, because that's the thing about poor people. They'll help you. So why is it that the rich are so negligent of the poor? And that's one of the things the Prophet ﷺ warned us about, is that if the rich don't give back to the poor through zakat, do you see, they incur the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not giving back to people. So, I mean, that was an immense sign for me, just thinking about that. And we're here in this immense opulence in this country. We live in opulence. We're all wealthy. There's nobody in here that's not living in opulence. You've got running water in your houses. You've got heat on in the wintertime. You can go down to the store and buy what you want. You can go get credit when you don't have money. You know, we're living like rich people. And so for us, one of the things that we all have to do is take ourselves to account, because that's what it's all about. The tsunami's coming. You know, it's coming. I mean, it's coming to us all eventually, you know, because the angel of death is the ultimate tsunami. So, you know, may Allah make us ready for that and make us people that are prepared to meet their Lord, you know, because we believe it. And people are going to stand before Allah and there's going to be accounting done. There's going to be reckonings done. And people that die drowning don't get those reckonings. So those people, the adab didn't come to them. I mean, the Prophet said, Ummati ummatum marhuma. My ummah is a ummah that has rahmah on it. Ju'ida adabuha fi dunyaha. All of the punishment of this ummah is in this world. And he said, Al-fitan wa zarazir wal balaya, earthquakes and calamity. And people, you have to ask you, why are all these major earthquakes that happen in the Muslim parts of the... You know, since I've been alive, all the really big giant 50,000 people, 100,000 people, it's mostly in these Muslim areas. Wahran in Algeria. And that's a sign from, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, that these things really are purgatorial. You know, there are ways in which we are purged of our, because our wrong actions are immense. And people that deny that, they want to pretend like God is not, that God doesn't have wrath. And it's not emotional wrath. It's not like you or I get angry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sunan. If you transgress them, then these things happen. So there's mercy in there, but there's also manifestations of wrath. And there's a lot of cause for us to really be in a state of ishfaq. You know, it says in the Quran that those who believe are in a state of apprehension about the hour. You know, because it's real, and the hour is your death. I mean, that's the reality of it. It's your own mortality. It's my mortality, your mortality. We're all mortal. So, you know, I mean, that's when any bad afflicts you, you have to look at yourself. You know, when a sayya comes to you, you have to look at yourself. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that ability to see ourselves clearly and to see our own shortcomings and free us from delusion and give us the ability to be humble and grateful before Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our brotherhood and sisterhood, keep our hearts united and protect us and protect this place and all the people. So, Jazakumullah khairan. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.